stonework. The other side of the wall in the workshop, and there'll be someone working here, so there'll be noise. And if you're disturbed by the noise, if you find it jarring, then it's a kind of really, really good way of doing this this idea of watchful and available. Because when there's something quite obvious, which is kind of jarring, like chainsaw noise, eh? It's not pleasant. Much more pleasant is silence. You go to the woods. So you can go away. That's an option too. Not that I'm throwing you out. But you can also like take the opportunity, something which is a bit jarring, but not really threatening and no real problem, and actually good that it's being done. And you can like just bring up like this idea, watchful, available. And then see that watchful, available, that mindfulness knows the unpleasant. And that mindfulness is actually quite peaceful. But the experience of a chainsaw is not, it's a kind of jarring thing. Now if I start to react to that, that's what I mean by attachment, grasping. So when you get something like that on a retreat, which is, you know, marginally annoying, something someone's doing, or maybe something I said, or whatever it is, and then you have a really good opportunity to observe what is mindfulness, and what are the conditions of mind, and where is the real freedom lie. A reactive person would just kind of react and complain, you know, and that's kind of we've probably done that enough this lifetime, so you know, to kind of go. Kind of use everything that comes up in a retreat or in your life to understand what mindfulness is about. Why I like the word available is because, I don't know about you, but my watchfulness has quite often been conjoined with either trying to get or try to get rid of. Trying to figure something out, trying to get some kind of insight, trying to get rid of fear. So watchfulness can become kind of aggressive or repressive, all kinds of ways. But the word for me of available, it has that soft side of it's the kind of heart side for me of awareness. So when I talk about available, for me, when I use that word, I always think of empathy or like receptivity. Like if I'm talking to someone and I really want to hear what they're saying, I have to be attentive and receptive. If I'm attentive and judgmental, you know, oh, you could do this or you could do that, and I'm just giving my Buddhist advice to them, but I'm not really with them, then I can't understand them. I might hit a right answer every now and then just through statistical probability kind of thing. But to actually understand them, I need to have a kind of receptive sense, listen, be attentive, receive, until some kind of intuitive response can come up. And I think it's the same about understanding our own conscious experience, is that if we don't understand that receptive quality, we don't employ that, we don't see the significance of that, we end up kind of attacking our minds or trying to, you know, figure them out, or trying to attain to something that we've read about, or trying to fit our consciousness into some kind of conceptual model that has been given to us in Buddhism. And that's not really understanding. Yeah? So I'd ask you to contemplate that receptive side. So that, and this is the language that helps me. I mean, that's why I use it. So just when I say listen, and to really understand this moment, I have to let go of my analyzing mind, thinking mind, judging mind, conceptual mind. Just letting go into listening. I'm not trying to get rid of thought. I'm just coming to a place of no thought, listening. Don't know if that makes sense for you, but. I guess what I'm trying to do is, like, this word mindfulness is so commonplace that sometimes we use a word and it just becomes dead. So that's why I'm trying to introduce that. All the practices that would be empathetic in kind, so practices of compassion, practices of generosity, practices of gratitude, anything like that is going to be a foundation for that attentive, aware, receptive quality. So we say in Buddhism, we say compassion is the method. And I often talk about this because when I heard the Dalai Lama say that once way back, he said, compassion is a method. I said, of course. Before that, I thought compassion was the goal. So because I thought compassion was the goal, then I had to get rid of anger. No, that's the goal, so I have to get rid of... And I got into that kind of judging mindset. But when he said, compassion is the method, no, that's different. It's just what I do to make this enlightened life possible. So that if I don't feel compassion, that's all right. That's not the goal isn't compassion. The goal is non-attachment, non-grasping. And that's different. So at times, I don't feel compassionate. I have yet to feel any compassion for deer flies. I'm going to come back many lifetimes to work that one through. But I can try not killing them. That seems to be my limit this lifetime. I'm being facetious, but if I really thought that compassion was the goal, and then the deer flies come, I'd probably get into some kind of warped sense of, oh, I must love the deer flies. And totally smarmy and unrealistic. So the method, the method is generosity, the method is compassion, the method is empathy, the method is forgiveness. And you see, they're all pointing to a particular way that we engage in life. So when we have a chance to engage in that way of life, good. So when we have a chance to be sensitive and generous and such like and compassionate, then try to encourage that in your heart. But when you're not, don't make it a problem. Don't kind of hate yourself because you're not that, but just don't attach. So you get some really unpleasant and wicked mind state coming up. Good word, wicked, isn't it? And then don't take it personally. Even if it's like you want to shoot the guy using the chainsaw, right? Say, oh, this is a feeling of wanting to shoot the guy that is using a chainsaw. So you can make conscious hatred. Hatred feels this way. And then say, watchful, available. So you're not afraid of anything. You know, anything is okay. You can be conscious of anything. And you begin to, as you do that practice, you see that awareness, wakefulness, mindfulness, is actually a very silent space. We don't notice that silent space because we don't give it enough time. We're so kind of reactive to our sense experience, to bodily things, memories, obsessions and such like, that we don't give it time. And it seems like nothing much. So you sit here and you just listen. So what? Ho-hum. But we don't give it time. We don't have the patience to be aware of whatever's going on. Whenever any positive quality is suggested, say like peace, openness of mind, bliss of emptiness or something like that, as soon as you say that, people get the greed to attain to that. So if I say that awareness or mindfulness is a gateway to nirvana or peace, if I can be aware, I can get peace. And immediately desire comes in. I want to get peace. That's why I'm going to be aware. And as soon as that comes in, you're not available. You're not available because your mind is in memory. It's moving to some future projection, and you never get there. So available is very profound. So even if you feel greedy or you feel tense, oh, this is what tension feels like. And the references to the body are very helpful, because if you can cultivate a skin like whole body awareness and vitality in the posture, I think that's very helpful, very helpful. And a kind of really a solid posture which is well grounded. And then watch as you're meditating what your body's doing. You'll see that a lot of the pain that we have is just trying too hard. So we tend to swing between trying too hard, falling asleep, trying to kind of swing like that. So if your attention can go down from the thinking mind down, like go down into the body, into the heart, into the hara, kind of a whole body awareness. This is a language that helps me. A sense of like a kind of a vibratory thing rather than a conceptual thing. What is my elbow as vibration rather than as physiological concept, right? So you get a sense of like the whole body sitting here, available, watchful, right? And it's very, very simple. And then within that, if you're trying to get something, your body's going to register it. You'll become very, very obvious. So what I'm hoping is we get that established, what we mean by awareness and mindfulness. And then again, from that, you can do any practice. You can do metta practice or nothing. You can listen to the sound of silence, or because you're coming from a place of non-greed, non-aversion. And then you can experiment. You can try things. So some people I know, they've been meditating a long time and breath meditation just doesn't work. They prefer really spacious, open, sound of silence, emptiness kind of language. Some people find that kind of language, they just space out. They've gone off to the fairies for an hour or whatever, and they need something more grounded. They need something in the body, they like the breath. So there's no one way to do this, but I think the one way that is valid is mindfulness. And so texts say that this one way leads to enlightenment, or mindfulness is the gateway to the deathless, whatever you have. So if you get that right, then you can experiment, you can play around. Okay, let's do some meditation.